Our lesson is from the sacred scripture of Joshua chapter 3, a story that we perhaps have heard before that we can review again to be reminded of the power of the Lord to lead and guide us and connect us with heaven. First, a few introductory ideas to sort of review the story. Now, remember the people of Israel left Egypt, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. That's a long time, isn't it? Yes, 40 years. And eventually, Moses died, and the Lord gave them another leader, a man named Joshua, because the Lord always provides that there will be a leader for his people everywhere throughout all times. So Joshua became the new leader of the people, and after 40 years, they moved up to the northern region, and they camped next to the Jordan River. And on the Jordan, and across the Jordan River, on the other side of the river, was the land of Canaan. And that's where the Lord wanted them to go. And so when it was time for them to go, Joshua had told the people that when they see the Ark of the Covenant and the priests holding the Ark of the Covenant, then it is time for the people to go across the Jordan River. And so in our lesson, something very miraculous happened when the priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant and the waters of the Jordan River are flowing. And then the priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and then they stepped in the water, and something happened to the water. You want to know what happened? Let's look at our lesson from Joshua chapter 3, just verses 14 through 17. So it was, when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still. See what happened? It says that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zeratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Amen. It's a beautiful story, and it's a miracle in the Old Testament. And so, did you hear what happened when the feet of the priests touched the water? Did you hear what happened? The water was flowing, and when the priests were carrying the Ark, and when their feet touched the water, the water stopped flowing. And then all of the people, every one of the people, it says everyone, all of the people went across the Jordan River and the ground was dry. You've been outside when it rains? Yes, you've been, and you play in the water in the rain and you stomp in the puddles, and that's fun, isn't it? But when you come to a puddle of water and you step in it, does the water move away? No, it stays there, doesn't it? Does the ground become dry? No, it doesn't. But in this story, it's a miracle of the Old Testament where the Lord is leading all of his people from all the troubles that they had in the desert and all the many problems that they had. And they had to work out many problems and things among themselves so that they could be ready to leave the wilderness and then go into the land of Canaan. So, what might we learn from this? The water stopped, and the priests are carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant contained the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. And the Ark of the Covenant symbolizes for us the Lord's Word. And those waters of the Jordan at this time represent bad things with us and problems and weaknesses and fears and doubts and all kinds of things that can be troubling to us. And so when the feet of the priests touch the water stops flowing and the people go across on dry land. And it is by means of the word that the waters can stop. Silly, foolish ideas that try to invade our minds and the bad feelings inside to try to make us do bad things and say bad things and feel bad about ourselves can stop, provided that we turn to the Lord's word and allow the word to make those waters of the Jordan stop, to stop bothering us. Then we can cross over into heaven and enjoy heavenly states of peace and happiness and love, and the joy of marriage between a man and a woman, the joy of a marriage of a man and woman taking care of children and serving uses in the church, and so on. And so one thing we want to take from this is the Lord wants us to leave the wilderness and go over to something else. So we want to stop things like hatred, right? We want to stop meanness, right? We want to stop being selfish, right? We want to stop calling people bad names, right? It's not nice, is it? It's not good, is it? We want to stop stealing and taking things from other people. And we want to stop disobeying our parents and always obey our parents, right? And so when we turn to the word and listen to what the Lord says, it is like making all the bad things stop, so that we can fill our hearts and our minds with divine truths from the word, so all the bad, silly things can be pushed away and the Lord's word can infill our hearts and our minds. Then we can cross over those waters into the land of Canaan and enjoy heavenly states of peace and love and kindness and all the wonderful things that the Lord can bless us with when we listen to the word and obey what the Lord says. So can we do that? Can we cross the Jordan? Yes. Can we leave behind all the bad things? Yes. And can we listen well to what the Lord says and ask him to help us to be willing to obey and to be loving and kind and sharing? We can do that. And the kids are shaking their heads, yes. And they're right. And the doctrine of the new church is so wonderful that it tells us that children so readily accept the teachings that the Lord gives us. When they're told, believe in the Lord, right? They say yes. And when they hear, listen to the word and obey the word, the children say yes. And when we say, let's turn away from the bad things and let's turn to the Lord so he can bless us with heavenly joys and heavenly states, the children say yes. And so let's have that innocence within us and be willing to be led of the Lord and leave the bad things. Allow the word to help us cross over and overcome and prevail over the bad things that hurt us and make us feel bad and try to turn us away from one another and the Lord. And so, let's everyone together, because it says in our lesson that all the people had crossed over completely over the Jordan. So we want to gather all of our thoughts and all of our affections that are good and heavenly, gather all of them together as we live in our lives day by day and cross over, and we want to be heavenly. Very well. Can we do that? All right. Amen. You may return back to your seats. And now we have a lesson from the Gospel of Mark and then from the Heavenly Doctrine for the New Jerusalem. Our next lesson is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be? That even the wind and the sea obey him. Amen. Our next lessons are parts of the heavenly doctrine of the Canon Celestial, number 1437, number 4255, and 1585. That the land of Canaan represents the Lord's kingdom in heaven and on earth becomes clear from many things in the Word. The reason it does so is that the representative church was established in that land, a church in which every single thing represented the Lord and the celestial and spiritual things of his kingdom. This applied not only to religious observances, but also to everything associated with those observances, to both the persons who ministered and to the things they administered, and even to the places where the ministrations took place, because the representative church was centered there in that land and was consequently called the Holy Land. The dividing of the Jordan and their passing through on dry ground meant the removal of evils and falsities and the admission into the Lord's kingdom of those who are governed by goods and truths. The crossing of the Jordan when the children of Israel entered the land of Canaan and the dividing of its waters at that time also represented the approach to the internal man by way of the external, as well as a person's entry into the Lord's kingdom. Amen. And here end our lessons. May the Lord add his blessing to the hearing and the doing of his word. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one God of heaven and earth. Amen. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, Let us cross over to the other side. It is quite often that a person will evaluate his current situation, reflecting upon his life as it is at the time. A person may experience uneasiness or become highly motivated upon discovering that perhaps he could have done something much better. Perhaps a person may regret choices that have been made. The implication is that a person's life could be better if only he had made perhaps a different choice in this situation or different choice in that situation. The desire and need for a better life impels us to make changes in our lives. A person would be prudent to reflect upon whether or not it would be practical to modify some aspect of his lifestyle. It could be that the notion calling for something better might arise out of an illusion fueled by natural pleasures. But in respect to our spiritual life, we must use good judgment. Instead of making spiritual progress, a person could be substituting one harmful behavior or attitude for another. And this reality makes it all the more important for us to reflect upon our motivations. The hope is we are putting forth our best effort to hear the voice of the Lord and follow him so that we may connect with the Lord and connect with his heaven. The Lord is encouraging us to cross over to the other side, to continue following him along the pathway to heaven as we gradually connect with heaven day by day. Before we examine our lesson, consider that there is power in the literal story. The Lord God Jehovah of the Old Testament assumed the human in the world in which he enveloped his divine love and divine truth. And the sheer power and wonder of his divine are visible for everyone to see in the miracles that he performed and in the truth that he taught. The Lord sat in a boat moored on the shore of the Sea of Galilee while he taught the people. The people stayed nearby on the shore, facing the Lord as he taught. And later that evening, the Lord said to his disciples, Let us cross over to the other side. The disciples got into the boat with the Lord and began their voyage across the Sea of Galilee. A great windstorm arose. The Lord was in the stern asleep on a pillow. The disciples cried out, fearing that they would perish and die. And the Lord arose, rebuked the wind, and commanded the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a calm. Not only a calm, but there was a great calm. And this story reflects the power of the Lord to protect our connection with heaven. And the Lord can help us prevail over our challenges as we follow him to the other side, as we connect with heaven each day during our lifetime in the world. The disciples getting into the boat can symbolize our willingness to follow the Lord. In the heavenly doctrine, we're told that the 12 disciples represent in the complex all things of faith, which is belief in the Lord, and all things of love, which is charity toward the neighbor. Faith and love are not abstractions, but are spiritual qualities conducive to our connection with heaven and ultimately our connection with the Lord. And what matters is that we practice our faith by believing in the Lord. From the doctrine of life, we're taught to believe in the Lord is not only to think that he is, but also to do his words. And this means that we simply obey the Lord's commandments. We must obey the Lord's word because, as stated in the heavenly doctrine so clearly, his commandments teach about life and also impart life, thereby opening the way to heaven. The 12 disciples getting into the boat can represent those spiritual thoughts and affections within us that stir us to continue believing in the Lord and to continue obeying his commandments. And if we make an honest assessment of human nature, we will admit that harmful and destructive traits can reside within us. And these are things like evils and sins, you know, dishonesty, lying, jealousies, and other wrongs. But also within us are things not necessarily evil, but things like fear, doubt, lack of trust, and other weaknesses. And left to ourselves, we are merely natural beings subject to various mind-troubling disturbances that adversely impact not only our natural life, but also our spiritual growth. But all the while, the Lord urges us to leave behind bad attitudes and bad behaviors that injure ourselves and cause us to injure one another. He says, let us cross over to the other side. And the other side is a spiritual life arising out of our connection with the Lord and our connection with heaven. In the heavenly doctrine, we learn that the life of heaven consist in being led by the Lord through good, and if a person is to attain that life, good must be implanted through truth. As long as this is being done, a person is on the road to heaven. And again, the Lord says, let us cross over to the other side. He encourages us to continue learning truths, and by means of the Lord's truths and no other source, we can know what good is. And living the good that truths teach maintains and strengthens our connection with heaven. And now, it is true that along our pathway of obedience to the Lord, we will encounter barriers and problems and setbacks and troubling thoughts and so on. Our lesson reflects this reality. After the Lord and his disciples got into the boat, something terrible happened. A great windstorm arose. The waves beat against the boat as it filled with water. The boat can sink. The disciples could drown in the raging sea. The Lord teaches in the Apocalypse explain that the storm that arose represents spiritual temptations, which are false ideas from the hells, breaking into the thoughts, which is the source of remorse of conscience and grief of mind. It is true that we accept the Lord's word as the source of how we should live. That is true of us. It is also true that we are committed to obeying the Lord's commandments. Yes, that is true of all of us. But the reality is that we must face the storm of our own individual challenges. These storms can take the form of denial, false reasoning, or an unsavory aspect of our character that seems that it simply would not go away. These storms may arise out of something outside of us over which we have no control. For example, an accident, or someone we love is ill, or the death of a loved one. We must also face hereditary tendencies that beat against our commitment to obey the Lord. The hills constantly try to remind us of our shortcomings. Fear, doubt, or other negative emotions may incapacitate a person from facing and prevailing over a troubling situation. When a person commits to a heavenly life of good, evil spirits from the hells introduce ideas suggesting that it is okay to commit sin. Storms from the hells attempt to intervene and disrupt our willingness to serve the Lord and to serve one another. Hellish storms suggest that something is wrong with you, or you are a failure, you are a bad husband, a bad wife, or a bad parent, or you are incompetent in your profession. And the objective here is not to say that life is gloom and doom. It's just true that troubling circumstances and disturbing thoughts will arise. And once again, as taught in the Apocalypse explained, these storms are the source of remorse of conscience and grief of mind. Unclean loves and disgusting thoughts from the hells prick our conscience and insinuate grief. We might experience remorse or grief because anything contrary to the Lord and religion is something that is troubling to us. The hells try to lead us away from the Lord and from healthy, loving relationships with each other. As long as we continue directing our loves towards serving the Lord and our neighbors, we will experience grief when the hells attack our loves. However, we are not alone. The Lord says, let us cross over to the other side. He urges us to strengthen ourselves with power from his love and truth. To one, he says, rise, take up your bed and walk. And to another, stretch out your hand. And still to another, go wash in the pool. And to another, he says, little girl, I say to you, arise. And although the Lord was in the boat with his disciples, he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. The disciples were afraid they would perish and drown in the sea. Now, it is interesting, and we know that some of the disciples were fishermen, and they were experienced with sailing on the sea. And we may conclude that they had been in storms before. And for some reason, they are now afraid of this particular storm. Perhaps the disciples failed to realize that the Lord, although asleep on a pillow, had not abandoned them. We have all experienced problems and troubling things in coping with everyday life. And just like the disciples may have been in storms before, so have we struggled against an unanticipated turn of events in our families or a situation that dramatically disrupts our routine. We've also struggled in temptations. And during the heat of the battle, we might lose sight of the fact that the Lord is present, fighting with us and for us as we navigate through various experiences of everyday life. You are not alone. During our individual storms, the Lord says, Let us cross over. Let us cross over to the other side. And even though he is with us in the boat, he is in the stern asleep on a pillow. The Lord asleep on a pillow is an image of the Lord's presence with us, but at the same time leaving us in freedom. While his presence is not detected during our struggles, we know that he has been with us. When we look back and scan the course of our lives, then we may see that in his divine providence, the Lord has always been with us. When is it that the Lord has not been with us always? The heavenly doctrine explains the appearance of the Lord's providence. And so in divine providence, we're told, to see the divine providence in the back and not in the face is to see it after it operates and not before. And to see it from a spiritual state and not from a natural state is to see it from heaven and not from the world. All who receive influx from heaven and acknowledge the divine providence, and especially those who by reformation have become spiritual, when they see events in some wonderful series, see the divine providence, as it were, from an interior acknowledgement and confess it. But the excitement, the despair, the panic caused by a life-threatening situation blinded the disciples from acknowledging the Lord and seeing his protection. The tempestuous nature of the storm captured their attention. They awoke the Lord saying, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And sometimes a person is like the disciples, and we're weak, and it's okay. A person may feel that if the Lord cared, perhaps the person would not experience agony when resisting temptation or when facing a difficult challenge. But wouldn't it be easy if a bad habit or tense relationship with another person just disappeared, ceasing to exist without any effort on the person's part? No one is particularly fond of the pain associated with the effort required for positive change in your character or relationships, especially if you're doing all the work by yourself. But our connection with heaven arises out of the toil and all of the hard work that it sometimes takes to confront and soften the abrasive contours of our character and our relationships with one another. And the Lord is with us through this work. The Lord is with us as we cross over to the other side. A lesson from the book of Joshua tells the story of the Lord leading the Israelite people across the Jordan River. When the feet of the priests who carried the ark touched the water stopped flowing and backed up. As the priests stood on dry ground, the people crossed over to the other side of the river. We're taught in the heavenly doctrine that the crossing of the Jordan, when the children of Israel entered the land of Canaan, and the dividing of its waters represented a person's entry into the Lord's kingdom. And further in the heavenly doctrine, we're told that the land of Canaan represented the Lord's kingdom. The dividing of the Jordan and their passing through on dry ground meant the removal of evils and falsities and the admission into the Lord's kingdom of those who are governed by goods and by truths. And so the Lord is leading us to the other side, to his kingdom of heaven. And along the way, from time to time, a person may disagree with his spouse or her spouse. And perhaps a child misbehaves or needs some gentle redirection, or a family member or friend needs some assistance. And these situations and other challenging circumstances may be frustrating or an intrusion, but not always. And from a practical standpoint, it would be helpful not to say or do something hurtful that you later come to regret. We must keep in mind that the Lord is leading us to the other side, from arguing to speaking kind words, from ignoring other people to listening to them, from selfishness to sharing, from hatred to love, from darkness to light, from chaos to peace, from damnation to salvation. We must listen to the Lord and pay attention to our friends and our loved ones. But the noise of the raging storm from the hills tries to interfere with our focus upon the Lord and other people in our lives. Only the Lord can help us overcome, and he can shield us from overreacting and from harming each other and ourselves. The Lord can silence the hills. And just take a moment and visualize the Lord and his disciples in the boat. We can form a mental imagery of the story. So the Lord and his disciples are in the boat. The storm is raging. The wind is tossing the boat up and down and rocking the boat from side to side. The boat is filling with water, and it's dark out there on the sea. And facing the storm, the Lord says, "Peace, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then it was peaceful and quiet again on the sea. The heavenly doctrine teaches us that the rebuke of the wind represents the Lord's deliverance of a person from spiritual temptations and falsities breaking into the thoughts. The Lord has power over any evil desire or silly idea that the hells try to introduce into our heart and into our minds. And in the struggle against evil inclinations, a person can turn to the Lord for power to shun evils and to overcome. The Lord can also dispel falsities from the hells that attempt to twist and pervert the Lord's truths. Truths always prevail over falsity. The heavenly doctrine teaches that falsities cannot destroy truths. The truth is the Lord is present with us, protecting us as we cross over to the other side. However, the disciples were fearful. The heavenly doctrine teaches that fear signifies distrust or not to have faith. After calming the storm, the Lord asks us, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And we ask that question even now. Why do we despair when confronted with temptations or difficult circumstances? What is it that we fear? Are we afraid that on our own we cannot overcome in temptation? Which is true, we cannot. Are we afraid that harm would come to us? Do we worry about our children or our loved ones who perhaps live a distance away? Are we afraid that harm would come to them? Fear can hinder our spiritual growth. But if we are fearful, one thing a fearful person might do is discover comfort in reflecting upon trusting in the Lord. Fear can be an indicator that we need to simply trust, not blindly, but trust in a way that is prudent and using good judgment in the Lord. And so, as we continue in obedience to the Lord, we make ourselves agreeable to the Lord, leading us to the other side. The other side is our connection with heaven by means of the life that we live in accordance with the word. The life that leads to heaven is a life of honesty and justice from a spiritual motive from the heart, from a love of good and truth. From Heaven and Hell, number 530. We know that the Lord is our God, who is always present with us in our hearts and our minds, leading us and always present in the word. Whatever our challenge might be, the Lord will fight with us and for us. And so the Lord says, "Let us, not you, cross over to the other side." He says, let us cross over to the other side. And as we cross over to the other side, the Lord meanwhile strengthens our connection with heaven. And so in closing, we have this idea that as we connect with heaven during our life here in the world, the Lord says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And now come, come, for all things are now ready." Amen. And now to the one God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And now let us pray. O Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, we would pray that you would open our eyes to see our shortcomings and our faults, and help us to be mindful of our weaknesses and our need of your divine mercy and power to lead and guide us. Strengthen us that we would be willing to listen to your voice, to cross over to the other side, to leave behind sin and disorder and things that are not useful and helpful. Help us, O Lord, not to be fearful, but to trust in you. Keep us, O Lord, in your hands and strengthen our connection with heaven. Amen. May the Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Amen.